हरे कृष्ण। I would like to welcome everyone for so kindly coming this evening to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple on this very auspicious festival of Sharad Purnima. In Vrindavan, this is one of the most exciting and devotional festivities of all of the year. The deity Banki Bihari, the night of Sharad Purnima, I believe it's the only day of the year that he holds his flute in his hand. And hundreds and thousands of people come to see that. Hare Krishna. And in many temples, they take the major deities to that place. In many temples, they take the major deities and they bring them in a garden. Adiyari. Lokavarnatam Prabhu, would you like to come here and sit? You're happy. Bring the deities in the gardens and devotees sing throughout the entire night, offering them very wonderful milk sweets, other such bhoga. The spirit in which devotees celebrate this festival has been revealed to us by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is the highest reciprocations of love that take place in the spiritual world. Between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His most beloved associates, the gopis of Vrindavan. Our acharyas feel their hearts break when they see this purest and sweetest spiritual ras misinterpreted as a materialistic affair of lusty men and lusty women. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other such great souls would see materialistic people painting the rasa dance in passionate ways for commercial purposes, it would cause them great pain. Shukadeva Goswami was of the topmost level of renunciation. Yet he considered the rasa dance the ultimate expression of divinity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, crest jewel of all sannyasis in the renounced order, banished Chota Haridas for just a slight inconsistency in his practice of renunciation. He worshipped the gopi's love for Krishna in the Raslila as the highest form of pure spiritual ecstasy. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, in their books, they praise and worship from the core of their hearts the Rasa-lila of Sri Krishna. How is that? Raghunath Das Goswami had a wife who was more beautiful than a young angel. He had wealth comparable to Indra, the king of heaven. And he left it all. Lord Chaitanya explained that Raghunath Das Goswami left it all, the most incredible pleasures of the world, just like a man leaves his stool behind after passing it. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they were high ministers, multi-millionaires. Every opportunity to enjoy luxuries we cannot manage. Left it all to wear tattered cloth discarded by poor people. Live by just begging, getting some roti and fried chickpeas, sleeping on the hard, cold ground under a different tree each night. But when they would hear the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis of Vrindavan, they would experience the highest spiritual joy. You see, on the path of bhakti, to the extent we are selfless in our spirit of service, to that degree we could actually comprehend and realize Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes purify anyone who hears them, but they have to be heard from the proper source with proper training. It is explained by Srila Prabhupada that the Rasa Lila of Sri Krishna is the eternal Lila of the spiritual world manifested on earth. So we must understand it as such. Through actually chanting the holy name offenselessly, by actually developing the attitude of a selfless, humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees, we develop the adhikar, or the qualification, by which we can have some realization by the grace of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the standard. He did not deeply go into the details of these confidential pastimes with the general public. But with his most elevated servitors, Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he would taste the nectar sometimes day and night. Srila Prabhupada, being founder Acharya of our society, following in the footsteps of his Guru Maharaj, he understood through realization and compassion how to present the Lord's transcendental pastimes in such a way that everyone and anyone can derive the maximum benefit. So in just the few minutes that we have, actually there's no minutes. Time's up. Adio. I'll speak just for 2-3 minutes. That's all I have. According to our scriptures, Sharad Purnima is the most beautiful night of all the year. The young gopis of Vrindavan, they worship the goddess Katyayani for one full month because they wanted Krishna to be their husband. And at the Chir Ghat, near a Kadamba tree on bank of Jamuna, Lord Krishna fulfilled their desire to some extent by taking all of their clothes away. But to reciprocate with their selfless love on this most beautiful of all nights, Krishna performed the Raslila. As the full moon began to rise in the eastern horizon, it was a beautiful golden color. It reflected its incredible aura on the clouds, throughout all the beautiful trees and creepers in the forests of Vrindavan, was shimmering on the surface of the waters of Jamuna. There was very, very pleasant breezes carrying the sweetest aromas of Malati, Malika, jasmine and other flowers. Actually, Brinda Devi and Yogamaya, they arranged by their own personal love every possible beautiful natural feature to increase the pleasure of Lord Krishna and his devotees. So Krishna on this very night felt so deeply the desire to give the ultimate ecstasy to his devotees. He entered into the forest of Vrindavan near Jamuna, under a tree called Bamsivat. And there he played a sweet song on his flute. And that song especially accentuated the most celebrated fifth note of his flute. The melody carried throughout the entire atmosphere, permeated all of Braja. When that sound entered into the ears of the Brajagopis and then penetrated their hearts, they were conquered. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Krishna was playing his flute, the unlimited ecstasies of the love of his heart, he was blowing through the flute. And that's actually what the sound was. The love of Krishna's heart just permeating the environment through the medium of the flute. When it entered into the hearts of the gopis, it explained, it entered and stole all the treasures from their heart. Their love, their morality, their everything. They were left with nothing. So they felt they had to go to the forest immediately to beg Krishna to return their hearts and the very treasure of their lives, because he just stole it all. So as Krishna played flute, gopis renounced everything simply to be enjoyed by Krishna. No selfish consideration. Krishna wants them, they are Krishna's property. Some were cooking. They just left the milk right on the stove, ran to the forest. Others, they were milking cow. They didn't even take the bucket away. They just immediately ran to the forest to meet Krishna. Others were breastfeeding babies. They just put the baby down with no consideration, ran into the forest. Others were serving their husbands or their mothers and fathers. They were feeding them prasad. Right in the middle of serving, they just left the table and ran out the door to the forest. Some of them, they were putting on decorative makeup, cosmetics, to make themselves look very nice for Krishna. But when Krishna called them, they just left. Sometimes with cosmetics only on half the places they're supposed to be. Some of them put on their clothes in such a way that the top part of their clothes was in their bottom part of their body and the bottom part was in the top. Why? Because Krishna was calling them. There was no consideration in their life that would stand between the call of Krishna. Some of the parents or the husbands, they forbid the gopis to go. You cannot go. But they just ran out without consideration. Some threatened, we'll never let you come back home if you leave. They knew their real home was in pleasing Krishna. Some of them were forcibly locked in the house so they couldn't go. The acharyas explained those gopis, they were not yet completely pure in heart. Therefore, this was actually Krishna's arrangement. They were not allowed to go, but they were burning in separation. They were crying out for Krishna. And then they just, in the core of their hearts, they meditated on Krishna. And the separation was like a burning, uncontrollable wildfire. And it burned to ashes all remains of their material attachments.
They actually gave up their bodies in the sense they gave up all their material conceptions of life. So that the next time they would be qualified to go. Dangerous forest. None of them went in groups. They all just ran alone. There's tigers, there's lions, there's leopards, there's snakes in the forest. And it was dark. They all came to the banyan tree under which Krishna was standing with great anticipation that he accept their loving devotional service. Krishna spoke to gopis that it is very nice that you have come, but why have you come? It is the middle of the night. It's very dangerous. And it's no proper place for a chaste, unescorted lady to come. You're violating the principles of morality. Your families must be very, very disturbed. You should go back home. If you've come to see the beauty of the Vrindavan forest in the moonlight, you've seen it. Now go home. If you've come to collect these beautiful, fragrant flowers that are growing, then collect them. They're everywhere. Go home. You must go home. It is not right. What will people think? When the gopis heard these words, their hearts were struck with great, great spiritual pain. They were drawing curved lines in the holy soil of Vrindavan with the tips of their beautiful lotus-like toes. Their eyes were welled up with tears. Tears were literally flowing down their face, mixed with their kajal, mascara, falling across their body and onto the ground. And then they told Krishna that we have left everything simply to please you. You have stolen our hearts. You are asking us to go back and serve the relatives of this world. But actually, in serving you, we are fulfilling all purposes. Because you are the super soul in everyone's heart. If you do not manifest in a person's heart, then that person is nothing more than a dead corpse. So actually, all love is exclusively meant for you. You have stolen our hearts. We cannot leave. Lord Chaitanya taught that this detachment of the gopis is the ultimate expression of renunciation. If a person in this world neglects his or her duties to family, society, then they're criminals. They're immoral. They're punished by the laws of nature. However, the ultimate dharma, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja, Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Gopis, they are the topmost acharyas, teaching by their example the principle of this verse. Man mana bhavamat bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishashi shatyam te prati jani priyoshi. Krishna says, what is surrender? To always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. And Krishna taught the world through the gopis of Vrindavan. Krishna being pleased with their love and their surrender. He went with gopis and began to sing with them and walk through the forests of Vrindavan with them. They even came to the bank of Jamuna. And each gopi was thinking, Krishna's only with me. This is the power of Krishna. Krishna can be with hundreds of millions of devotees. He could be with trillions of devotees. And yet every devotee is thinking that Krishna is only with me. That is because his love, his power to love, is unlimited, perfect, and complete. No one in this world can do that. We have read in scriptures of kings with co-wives, and they're always envious of each other. What to speak of this world, today's society? But Krishna can satisfy everybody's innermost heart's desires. These ecstatic interruptions are coming. The interruptions are more wonderful than what's being interrupted. These wonderful souls have assembled. Where was I? Ah, yes. So Krishna, he can perform an activity. One activity could fulfill so many different levels of instruction and reciprocation. Or what Prabhupada said, Krishna can fulfill so many purposes through anything he speaks or anything he does. So each gopi was thinking, I am the most fortunate person in all of creation because Krishna is with me. Krishna scented that pride and he disappeared. Now, what is that pride? Actually, their pride was completely pure. Because they were not proud of themselves. They were proud of Krishna. That is the perfection of pride. We should all be proud of Krishna. They were proud that Krishna is just so merciful. How he's so kind to the soul. That is on the higher level. But on another level, Krishna wanted to teach the world that any devotee who has false pride, he abandons them. Krishna does not tolerate false pride. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If we're humble, we'll always be with Krishna. Humility attracts Krishna, the all-attractive. But Krishna, out of his mercy, abandons that devotee who has too much pride to teach them how to be humble, how to realize our insignificance and our desperate need for his mercy. When Shyam Sundar disappeared, the Braja Gopis became mad in the ecstasy of separation. They were looking everywhere, but they could not find him. They entered into the forest. They were asking the trees, O banyan tree, O bakula tree, O kadamba tree, have you seen the son of Nanda Maharaj? Has he come this way? O Tulsi, has he touched you with his lotus hand? They were asking the birds, the creepers, but there was no reply. Then they began to beg Mother Earth herself, you are so fortunate that his lotus footprints are always upon you. Please tell us where he has gone. They became so intense in their ecstasies of absorption in Krishna that they began to enact Krishna's pastimes. This is real drama. This is the drama of spontaneous, ecstatic love. One gopi became Putana, and another gopi drank the poison from her breast, pretending. One gopi became a cart, Shakatasura, and another gopi kicked her and she fell down. One gopi stood on another gopi's head and said, now I am dancing on you, Kaliya, and you should go away and never come back. One gopi became Krishna, one Balaram, and so many became cowherd boys, and they went into the forest. And they killed Batsasura, another gopi. This was their absorption in Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna consciousness means to be totally absorbed in Krishna. And actually, in whatever we do, we should absorb ourselves. That's the symptom of devotion. If we're chanting our japa, we should absorb ourselves in Krishna and his name. If we're in kirtan, we should absorb ourselves. If we're having darshan of the deities, if we're cooking for Krishna, if we're doing sankirtan for Krishna, if we're cleaning the floor for Krishna, whatever service we're doing, we should be completely absorbed in doing it for the satisfaction of Krishna. That is bhakti. Things should not be done mechanically. They were searching for Krishna. They went deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest until it was so dark and so dense that not even one little beam of the moon could enter. How can you look in such blackness? So they came back to the river Jamuna and simply cried. And there they began to sing the glories of Krishna. And they offered prayers. It is called the Gopi Gita. Beautiful, beautiful prayers of separation. These prayers have been meditated upon and chanted by great Vaishnavas throughout our history. Prayers of heartfelt devotion in the most intensified mood of love and separation. Krishna, being very pleased, then appeared to them. He was wearing a garland of wild forest flowers and a beautiful golden yellow dhoti. And he began to reciprocate with the love of gopis, completely satisfied all their hearts' desires. One gopi, or actually, the gopis, they asked Krishna a question, just to show indirectly how much they were hurt by his leaving them. Actually,
most important part. We will rewind for a few minutes. As gopis were searching for Krishna, they happened to find his footprints on the ground. And that brought them hope and life. They followed those footprints. And if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, those gopis were so absorbed in Krishna. They were like the most incredible transcendental detectives. How they were just analyzing those footprints in so many wonderful ways. After some time, they saw two sets of footprints. One of Krishna and one of another gopi. And they all began to exclaim that this particular gopi, she loves Krishna with supreme devotion. Therefore, he has left all of us just to accept her love and devotion. And that gopi is Srimati Radharani. This particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, in a more pristine form than any other Vedic literature, reveals the supreme position of Srimati Radharani as the topmost of all devotees. And ultimately, the Srimad Bhagavatam culminates in the love of Srimati Radharani. Because all bhakti, all love of all living entities is only part and parcel of her love. It is only through the mercy and blessings of Sri Radharani, who is Krishna himself in the form of his own divine eternal pleasure potency. Krishna is conquered by the love of his pleasure potency. Then they saw how instead of two sets of footprints, there was one. So they were analyzing. This means that that gopi became a little tired and she began to ride on Krishna. He was carrying her. And then they happened to see how the footprints were becoming deeper in the ground. So this means that Krishna, just to pick flowers for her, is reaching up into the trees and the vines of the trees of Vrindavan. Then they saw where they sat down and Krishna was decorating her hair with these flowers. And then they found that somehow or other that gopi was left behind. Because Sri Radharani began to think that Krishna has left all gopis for me. So Krishna left her. And they found her. And she told the story. And then they all went to the Jamuna and sang Gopi Gita. And at the very crescendo of their love, when they were on the verge of leaving their bodies in the fire of desire for devotion to Krishna, Krishna appeared. Gopis asked him question. They asked, some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate toward them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical. And yet others will show affection toward anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
so-called friends who show affection for each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. They have no true friendship, nor are they following the true principles of religion. Indeed, if they did not expect benefit for themselves, they would not reciprocate. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was offered any benediction by Lord Narasimhadev, he rejected the proposal. He said, "My Lord, if my surrender and devotion is with expectation of anything in return from you, then I'm not a devotee. I'm a businessman. My love for you is simply for your sake, for your pleasure. That is love. This is the world where people mutually exploit each other. That is not real friendship." My dear gopis, some people are genuinely merciful, or like parents, naturally affectionate. Such persons who devotedly serve, even those who fail to reciprocate with them, are following the true faultless path of religion, and they are true well-wishers. Real love is unmotivated and uninterrupted. Krishna explains here that the closest thing to that love in this world is a parent. Even if the parent doesn't reciprocate at all, we have example. In my own life, I just told my parents, "I'm going away for 2 months, then I'm coming back for college. I'm going to Europe." 6 months later, they got a letter from Iran that I'm on my way to India. Hare Krishna. I was away for years. I didn't reciprocate at all with them. I was searching for God. But still, they were willing to do anything, everything, at any time. That is the parent's love for a child. Real love is without expectation of anything for one's own benefit. Real love is simply service, devoted for the welfare of another, even if they are inimical toward you. That is the test of love. That is a real friend, and Krishna says that is the path of true religion. Then there are those individuals who are spiritually self-satisfied, materially fulfilled, or by nature ungrateful or simply envious of superiors. Such persons will not love even those who love them. What to speak of those who are inimical? But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings is even when they worship me. I'll read that again. Listen very carefully. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he could think of nothing else. In this regard, our beloved acharyas explain that a devotee sometimes sacrifices so much for Krishna and worships Krishna with so much sincerity. And sometimes they just don't really feel Krishna reciprocating with them. They feel dry. They feel lonely. They feel that they're not making much spiritual advancement at all. But actually, Krishna is saying here that this is his reciprocation. He never abandons or neglects a sincere devotee. But he wants us to long with great eagerness and intensity for his love. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion, of the Vedas, and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I remove myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada has explained to us that Krishna is revealing his heart toward his beloved devotees. Krishna tells us in Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he is the proprietor of all the property and all the planets and all the universes within the cosmic manifestation. Aham sarvasya prabhavam atta sarvam pravartate. He's also the proprietor of everything that exists in all the innumerable spiritual worlds. But Krishna is feeling and expressing honestly as the absolute truth that the love of his dear devotees is so priceless to him that even in a lifetime of Brahma, with all that he possesses, he cannot possibly repay the pure love of his devotees. At that time, Krishna fulfilled the desires of gopis by allowing them to completely offer their body, mind, words in the service of Krishna. And they performed a beautiful dance. Prabhupada says that rasa dance means when they're circular dance. The gopis went in circle, and Krishna actually expanded himself to be between each gopi. And each gopi was between each pair of Krishnas. And they were dancing in this circle, and Krishna also manifested in the middle of his circle, playing his flute. And as he was playing his flute, Krishna was singing with each of the gopis and praising their singing. In this way, they had wonderful pastimes throughout the entire night. But just to satisfy the Braja Gopi's desire to serve him, Krishna made that one night the length of time of one night of Brahma. How many years is night of Brahma? Huh? 4.3 billion of our years is one night of Brahma. That's how long he danced with gopis. And when the night ended, he sent them all home. And actually, Krishna's yogamaya potency, that at home, all the fathers and mothers and husbands of gopis, they actually were thinking that their gopis were home all night. The next morning when they returned, they never even knew they were out. That is Krishna's way of fulfilling the desires of all of his devotees. Now you may be asking, how is it that all the family members, they were still there, even after 4.3 billion years? And they just woke up. Krishna put a night of Brahma into a night of human beings. Hare Krishna. But Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami describes this as a chintya shakti. This is Krishna's inconceivable potency. He can do anything to fulfill his devotees' desires. When he was just a little baby boy at Brahmanda Ghat, he put the entire universe within his mouth. Huh? And his mouth didn't grow. His mouth was only this big. And Yashoda looked in it and she saw mountains and oceans and planets. Krishna can put the cosmic manifestation in his own mouth. And when Yashoda Mai wanted to put the rope around Krishna, she took a rope and put it around. It was two fingers too short. She tied more rope and more rope. There was miles of rope. The gopis from all over Vrindavan were just bringing all their ropes, different colored ropes, tying them all together. And every time it was two fingers too short. Miles of ropes, and Krishna's waist didn't grow at all. It remained the same. Hare Krishna. At the Jamuna, at Akrura Ghat, Krishna showed the spiritual world to all the devotees, right there. Krishna can do anything. We are subjected to the laws of nature, but Krishna is the controller of all laws. And for his devotee, he can perform the most inconceivable, unimaginable, transcendental pastimes just to give them pleasure. And what is the pleasure of the devotee? Simply to please Krishna. So in essence, what the Ras Lila represents is unmotivated, uninterrupted, pure loving service to Krishna. To the extent we want to enjoy, we cannot appreciate what is bhakti. To the extent we selflessly want to give our lives in the service of God, to that very extent, Krishna reveals his unlimited opulences, his beauty, his knowledge, his wealth, his strength, his fame, his renunciation. But in the land of Vrindavan, the sweet and charming nature of that cowherd boy supersedes all the grandeur and opulences of Vaikuntha by billions of trillions of quadrillions of times. Swarup Damodar Goswami explained that the trees of Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling kalpa vriksha trees. Every grain of soil of Vrindavan is chintamani, more precious than the most priceless jewels of Vaikuntha. They could fulfill all one's desires. The cows are Kamadhenu cows. Due to their pure love, due to their unlimited love, they can provide unlimited milk. for unlimited amounts of time. Where no one walks, everyone dances. And the constant companion is the sound of Krishna's flute. It is the land of perfect unity, perfect harmony, because everyone's lives is dedicated to Krishna's service. It is this transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan which has descended to the world as Gokul. And Srila Prabhupada, he was living in Vrindavan. And when such a pure Paramhamsa Vaishnav is in the holy Dham, he doesn't see the same things we see. We may see sewage and hogs and restless monkeys and poverty. But he sees through all that. That's just an external illusory appearance. He actually sees the eternal Leela of Krishna, the unlimited grandeur of Goloka. He left that place to come to Bombay to beg at the steps of the Scindia Steamship Company for a ticket on a cargo ship to go to New York. Why? You can understand why Prabhupada went to New York, even in contemporary times, when these terrorists wanted to attack the conception of materialistic capitalism. They crashed into New York. Because they know that's the ultimate empire of materialism, of Western culture. Prabhupada also went to New York. But his mission was not demoniac, envious, to kill, but it was to conquer. Prabhupada said, if they knew what I was coming for, they would have never let me in. He came to teach people how to detach themselves from the whole consumeristic consciousness of enjoying and be self-satisfied in chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping Krishna and loving Krishna. He came to teach us that the pleasures in this world only increase the fever of illusion. He came to bring us back home, back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan, to that beautiful place where we can forever live as the servant of the servant of the servant of the associates of Srimati Radharani in her loving service to Sri Krishna. And he installed deities of Radha Krishna in practically every major city in the world, even the Appalachian Mountains. So many places. When Srila Prabhupada was at New Vrindavan, one day he was looking at Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, Radha Vrindavan Chandra have appeared like the most beautiful American boy and girl, just to attract all the American boys and girls to their loving service. So tonight's festival is something very, very wonderful. Devotees have literally worked for months to prepare for the darshan that you are about to see. Separation will make you more eager to see. Very
Vrindavan Kishore Prabhu and Gaur Govinda Prabhu, Bamsi Bihari Prabhu, Braja Gopal Prabhu, Radha Priya Mataji, Gauranga Prabhu, Madhvacharya Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu, Raghupati Prabhu, Haridas Thakur Prabhu. Who else? Everyone. All of you. These devotees, they were planning and working and just all their creative intelligence and hard work to try to make something wonderful as an offering to Radha Gopinath and for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas. And Krishna appears in his deity form for the purpose of attracting our hearts back to his eternal abode and his eternal loving service. So on tonight's Sarat Purnima Darshan, we will have the opportunity to actually see the spiritual world on the most beautiful of all nights, Sarat Purnima. And as we are taking this darshan, we should be praying helplessly with great sincerity of our hearts that we may unconditionally dedicate our lives as the servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, and develop a real taste for hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, serving the devotees of the Lord, and being compassionate instruments as preachers. We should pray in our darshan that we can genuinely become attracted to